Welcome back again to the show floor. It's getting busy. It's lunchtime, so there's a lot of background noise. We do hope you're not picking too much up, but hopefully it won't distill this interview with my guest. Igor, you've been on the MongoDB TV live streams lots. You've been previously on the live streams that we do at That Local New York. Igor, Principal Partner Solutions Architect from AWS, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you for inviting me. I almost feel like a TV star.
Well, you pretty much are now. We'll have to give you a badge for repeat performances and
recurring performances. I'll need some sponsorships.
Well, listen, it's always great to have you on board. Yeah. In the context of our MongoDB ecosystem with AWS, there's so much that we can talk about.
Yeah,
we've only got the 10 minutes of our slot, unfortunately. So let's double down on a couple of the more recent things.
Yeah.
Talk to me. We obviously, AI has been the topic of most of the interviews earlier today as well, too. Talk to me a little bit about Q, Amazon Q Developer.
Right. So Q Developer, yes, you're right. It's a big focus, and it's focused for you because you want your developers to have the best experience, and developers, in particularly on AWS, you want to have the best experience. So I know you, Shane, worked specifically with us to train and fine-tune Q Developer on datasets specific to MongoDB code. So the code we generate now, it has approved patterns from you. Looking at you supply the data set. We've done a first iteration, and I think that we announced at, I think it's New York event, right?
Yep.
And now we're talking about, like, as MongoDB evolves, you are supplying new data sets. So it's more of a kind of becoming an ongoing process.
Yeah, and look, the training and fine-tuning of the foundational models never stops. We're getting better at it. We're getting better at giving you better data. It's great. And we've had a really good collaboration with the Q team in AWS. And now we're able to look forward to other things. Talk to me a little bit about migration and modernization, et cetera, using AI in the likes of Q.
Yeah, I know you guys are working on developing the tooling needed for modernization and migration in the apps. In Q Developer, there is a way to do processing of the data, processing of the code on a multiple file basis. We're hoping you're going to use that in your tooling. So Q Developer, you can, for example, ask it to look at the repository, see what's going on there. Or you can say, I won't migrate the full project. At the full project level, you can migrate. And so, yeah. And then we're working on kind of integrating with your tools and that. So that's something yet to come.
Yes, yeah. But it makes a lot of sense because I suppose the code assistants originally are there to help developers speed up the process, et cetera, as well, too. And this is just the next level of that.
Exactly. So, you know, like you said, originally it was mostly around code completion. So how it is developer types something, we can predict what they want to type next, and we will provide those inputs. You can cycle through them using arrow left, arrow right keys. But now we're going into the next level of working with you to help customers migrate and modernize their applications. Q Developer support is several patterns right now, like Java migration from one, like version into 7.8 to like more modern, more recent versions. But the same process can also apply to taking a relational backed application, relational database backed, and migrating it to something more modern like MongoDB database.
Excellent. And taking, I suppose, the AI products that AWS has a little bit, or like you've got Q for Business.
Yes.
And also Bedrock as well, too. First of all, Q for Business. Explain it, because it's relatively new, right?
Yeah. So we our stack consists of three layers. And the highest layer, it's the most abstracted way. Mm-hmm. It focuses more on the end user experience, meaning a user comes in. They don't necessarily need to choose a model. They don't need to know which models are which. It's abstracted away from them. They're primarily doing configuration and supplying their data. Mm-hmm. And that allows users to create an application that can do some function. We can create a chat button in a few clicks. And that's the higher level analyst type configuration, mostly no coding or little coding application.
As possible.
Yeah. As little as possible, exactly. So the idea is to quickly start. Now, if a developer persona wants to create an application and they want to choose a specific model, they want to control the data sources, how they ingest it, and maybe even have some. There are some other features like You can add guardrails, for example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then can you want to control what's in those guardrails? Then it becomes more of a Bedrock situation. Bedrock is a serverless service. You interact with it primarily via API. So mm-hmm. it's a developer coding.
Yes.
Making API calls. There are specific APIs, though, but you do not... you have choice of a model.
Mm-hmm.
You even you have exact control over the prompt. You like in the generative, what we call the first layer, we call them generative AI applications.
Mm-hmm.
And those you might not even have control over the prompt. It is handled for you. Here you have exact control over the prompt with Bedrock, and that's where we see primarily developers kind of focusing on.
Cool.
And then we can also drop one last layer. It's all about optimization.
Mm-hmm.
You want to optimize your, if you want to reduce your latency, you want to control how inference is done on the model. You want to roll your own model. At that point, you would have data scientists involved.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of a data scientist plus regular application developers working together. And it's a much, much heavier investment to build an application.
And as far as Bedrock is concerned, MongoDB is a vector store in Bedrock. You can choose MongoDB as...
Absolutely, yes. Well, MongoDB is one of the few vector databases that is used in Bedrock. And that kind of feature, the Bedrock knowledge bases, is done primarily to help with automating the RAG application creations, where Bedrock will take care of data ingestion.
Yes.
They will take care of chunking. You can supply different chunks. Like a lot of, if you see a lot of discussion, what chunking strategies should I use? Like in a higher level, like Amazon, you don't need to worry about chunking. It will do it for you. In Bedrock, there is an option.
Yes.
What strategy you want to use. But then ingestion, as long as you have data on S3 and some other sources are coming, you don't need to worry about anything else. You just configure it. It will run a job. It will scan it. It will ingest it. It will push the data into MongoDB Atlas, and it will be available and then you can add this to your application via APIs.
Okay.
You can start interacting with that application, making API calls, and it will use MongoDB Atlas under the hood.
Excellent. So as a solutions architect, I know that you build a lot of demos, you build a lot of things when you're out there talking to clients, talking to customers about what they build. What are some of the challenges you see I talked earlier in one of our previous guests, there's lots of nice proof of concepts out there.
Yeah.
What are the challenges in taking a Gen AI app to production?
What?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Developers take a model, take a prompt, take user input, mesh it together, send it to the model. Yay.
Gen AI. Yeah.
Okay. So next, what happens next? They send it to the executive. Executive types something.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them horrible answer, some hallucinations, who knows what. And like, oh, this is not ready for production. So the challenge is controlling hallucinations. Then the data that developers hook in, if you don't have the right lineage,
mm-hmm.
like if you don't track the lineage, primarily responses in a RAG are to relate with the generation system driven by the data that we provide. If you don't know where the data comes from,
mm-hmm.
you will not be able to control response.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. You open yourself up to... inaccuracies, outdated stuff, not necessarily hallucinations, but you haven't controlled the data.
That's right. You need to be able to trace, like, this response was based on the data. Where is the data coming from?
Mm-hmm.
If users are saying this is not correct response, you have to be able to fix it. For that, you need lineage in data. I mean, traditional data and analytics type of processes of governance, lineage, data quality,
mm-hmm.
all that has to be in place. Additionally, I see the trends where we've created a system like we just described, right? You need to have some sort of guardrails, controls.
Yes. Yeah.
You need to be able to evaluate your response.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a good response? Is it not a good response? And you need to have that layer. Maybe you want to filter out some things. Maybe, or at least as a minimum, you should track that. Some kind of feedback loop to...
Sure, sure.
To get that information back into the product. It might even involve building a custom model that will be capturing the output of your conversation from the user. The responses that are sent to the users need to be maybe even graded by a human.
Mm-hmm.
And that will allow you to accumulate a label data set, and maybe that model will be sitting there and just kind of track it. Is everything happening? And that kind of means that application that you're building is getting more complex.
Yes. Yeah.
And you've heard probably agentic system 3.99.
Of course. We don't have time for that conversation.
No. The most interesting part.
Talk to me. So we published a blog post on our developer center this morning that you co-authored.
Yes.
It was essentially Anthropic, AWS, and MongoDB. Talk to me a little bit about that, the content in there.
So it is Anthropic and, like I said, MongoDB Atlas. And we used several models. We used Niton embeddings from AWS.
Mm-hmm.
But the heart of the application is Anthropic, the Claude 3 Haiku model.
Okay.
So that's the model that does, it's the brains behind. And it's an agentic product.
Mm-hmm.
So in that product, we have several agents or tools, sometimes they're called, they're doing various functions.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, for example, when you work with a RAG application, actually it's a misconception. People think you need to always have semantic search.
No.
Not true.
No.
It's about retrieval augment and how you retrieve is another story. You can augment with a direct lookup.
True.
You can do semantic search. You can do lexicographical search. You can do Keras. All of these are possible in MongoDB Atlas. So in this particular architecture, we used a lexicographical search combined with a direct lookup and combined with semantic search. And we created several agents, and depending on the user query, Haiku, Claude 3 Haiku, decides which agent to use.
Okay.
And that agent makes either call that does electrographical search to MongoDB Atlas.
Yeah.
It does semantic search.
Mm-hmm.
And then those responses can be combined. And this is, I see it as an evolution of current generative AI application. That orchestration layer is getting more complex.
Sure.
There are more tools involved or agents. They're doing specialized tasks because if you know exactly what you want to do, you know the exact query pattern, you know it's better to be done by agent, not by a semantic search.
That's
example. But if it is a question which can be asked many different ways, that's why semantic search fits in bed.
Perfect.
So in this architecture with Anthropic, we kind of focus more on a call center,
mm-hmm.
customer service kind of area. We've created this. It runs on Lambda. It integrates with Lex, and Lex has ability to integrate with Amazon Connect, which is our customer support product. So you can create a custom flow on how users will be interacting with the application, and you can add it to your either chat interface.
Mm.
You can also add it to your voice prompts and then help customers basically augment the customers, if I may say, and customer service reps.
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this as we get more complex. And as you say, the orchestration piece behind the scenes was super important. And that's, if you want to have a look at that post, it went live on our MongoDB Developer Center, developer.mongodb.com. We'll get you there. And it probably should be top of the list if you go to the tutorial section, because it was published this morning. We probably published another few announcements this morning, but you'll find it pretty easy, or just search. For AWS at the show, and I know there's a stand and a few of your colleagues down there, what are you most looking forward to seeing today?
I'm looking towards interaction with developers, because you have a lot of developers here. They have interesting ideas how to build the applications with MongoDB Atlas. So that's exciting. Exciting to hear those ideas. And there's my session a little bit later, and we actually have a lab.
Okay.
Yeah, where people can build an application with hands-on experience.
Great.
You should stop by.
If I'm not doing this job, I definitely... Perfect. Igor, as ever, thank you so much. We'll have to get you a badge or something about a repeat
sponsorship.
And actually, before we go, you're a MongoDB champion.
Actually, right? I did get some swag. I have some wonderful shoes. I wish I was wearing them, but I can put it on the table.
Yeah, we don't get those shoes. You'll have to show.
Can I put my foot on the table?
You're not in. So as a MongoDB champion, what does that mean to you?
As a MongoDB champion, I am promoting MongoDB within AWS.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure all the account teams on AWS are aware of what you can do with MongoDB Atlas in the context of AWS.
Yeah, that's it. Perfect. Very succinct, very detailed, very direct. So keep doing that. You're doing a great job. As ever, Igor, it's a pleasure to have you on board. It's always good to do these streams with you. I look forward to whenever we're doing the next one, which I'll probably twist your arm to do pretty soon.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me. Always a pleasure.
Excellent. Thank you, Igor.
Cheers.
Tune in shortly. We'll be back with more guests just after this break.
You got it, sir.